Welcome to the Post Acute Point of View podcast, our discussion hub for healthcare technology in the out-of-hospital space. Here, we talk about the latest news and views on trends and innovations that can impact the way post-acute care providers work. We'll also dive into how technology can make a difference in today's changing healthcare landscape for home and facility-based workers and the people they care for. Let's dive in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Post Acute Point of View podcast. I'm Rob Stoltz, and I'm the Senior Business Development Director here at MatrixCare. Today, we're excited to have Drew Bringhurst, the Chief Commercial Officer at Hospice Dynamics, with us to speak about AI and predictive analytics. So, Drew, always good to get together with you. Appreciate you spending time with us today. I think we'll start where we should with everybody's origin story and try to find out, how exactly did you get into AI, predictive analytics, specifically maybe for hospice?
Yeah, thank you, Rob, and to ditto that. Always great talking to you. Yeah, so it's interesting. We're a group of former hospice owners and operators. We own hospices throughout Oklahoma and Georgia. And during our time running that operation, we constantly recognized a significant lack and demand for automation in the hospice industry. So we would find ourselves spending a lot of time, you know, enhancing various administrative tasks that, you know, as an organization, we had to be responsible from a liability standpoint. And we're spending so much time doing that as opposed to devoting our time towards identifying areas to enhance levels of patient care. So when we sold our hospices in 2020 and through an incredible encounter of fate, which is a pretty unique story, we were introduced to a team of incredible data scientists out of Silicon Valley who we partnered with to create Hospice Dynamics, which is the first and only decision intelligence software that designates a truly dynamic and continuous predictive length of stay for every patient upon admission through the end of life to enhance really the operational and financial health of the organization so that organizations can spend their time focusing on that patient care.
So there's a couple terms that I think today get thrown out quite a bit, right? AI, predictive analytics, you hear it everywhere, and it's almost too much, right? And you're not sure what exactly is one or the other. Can you just talk about that a little bit and how your platform utilizes those technologies and puts them to use in getting the insight for the customers?
Right. Yeah, Robin, I think we've talked about this, you know, almost an enhanced pivot table is now being considered AI. And
right.
What we experience specifically in this industry, because it is so new, is that predictive analytics and AI gets a little misunderstood, and anything being considered AI or predictive analytics is really thrown in all into the same bucket. So, and you know, the best comparison we make is people are considering a text message the same as an airdrop, the same as an instant message, and it's really not. And when we're asked that question, that's when we really are fortunate enough to be able to provide great description as to the power behind our AI engine. So how our software works is, we integrate with the EMR, and once a patient is admitted within that EMR, our software is going to scrub that entire patient profile, and that's going to be using structured machine learning technology. So we scrub 376 different data points upon admission. We then cross-reference that across our entire vast Hospice Dynamics database, and for lack of a better term, identify similar patient profiles, and then designate that initial predictive length of stay. We are very, you know, proud of our software. Is after that process, which is the easy process, is once that patient is admitted, our software, using unstructured machine learning technology and natural language processing, is scrubbing every single documentation associated with that patient. So any input from any member of the IDT team, we are going to scrub that patient data through the notes and then adjust that predictive length of stay, whether it be an improvement, a decline, or a plateau. That's where we're really proud, because we're not aware of any other software on the market that's able to do it at that level.
I think you're right. I mean, that's what certainly intrigued me about, you know, starting to talk with you guys, you know, develop what is ending up and being a great partnership here. And I think, you know, the other thing that's interesting about the story, Drew, is kind of where it started. As a company who's not all that old, I've seen a tremendous transformation in kind of your messaging and what you originally intended to do with that type of information and how organizations are using it now in a way that may be different to optimize the patient care that they're giving. Can you talk a little bit about start, the middle, the change, and what I think will be an ongoing story about how the data gets utilized?
Yeah, very good question, Robin. We, you know, when we first started this, with the exception of myself, our entire executive team are all CPAs, so very financially centric driven. When we first started this, we really had a financial focus, you know, being able to calculate the Medicare annual cap for every provider was really a problem we were trying to solve because it's never been automated. It is a very manual process. In order for us to do that accurately, the common denominator for that, we had to be able to, again, provide that highly accurate predictive length of stay for the patient. In doing so, we realized that a byproduct of being able to provide that data, there is an incredible compliance component with the overwhelming surge and, you know, these external surveys and fees, being able to identify what that patient's predictive length of stay is going to be on day one and being able to adjust whether or not that patient is more palliative care appropriate, making sure on the front end that a patient with a maybe higher predictive length of stay, let's make sure that every single documentation associated with that patient is as complete, thorough, and compliant. And then being able to use that same sort of data to be able to benchmark referral sources to educate them on being able to identify those hospice appropriate patients sooner, or maybe they're identifying, you know, a little too soon. Another aspect of this, and again, it's continuing to evolve because every time that we talk to a customer, we're realizing that it just has so much more application than what we initially designed it for. For instance, with you all, we're taking the same technology on the palliative care side and being able to help hospice organizations who have a palliative care arm identify those hospice appropriate patients on palliative care much sooner. There's some other applications in terms of increasing survey results, you know, being able to leverage this with some other vendor partners on being able to help the spend of hospice organizations. We are learning something every single demonstration that we do with customers, and it's actually blown us away, which we've seen with the momentum we've gained in the past 3 months.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because, you know, obviously there's a story there about managing the Medicare cap, right? That is a laborious type of function that people go through. And it's obvious to think, hey, I can save there. That's really something that I think people can relate to in what they do day to day. I think as you look at that and you start to say, man, the palliative care impact is so exciting, right? I mean, because as you mentioned, you might see a patient who has a long length of stay and you start to rethink, how do I use my palliative care and, you know, use my hospice? And should I maybe be in a different, am I in the right setting at the right time? And all the people who are out there servicing these palliative patients, you really want to get them that hospice benefit earlier. And I think this really helps them do that. So I've been very excited about the work we're doing together to kind of get to that point, because I think that function in this healthcare segment is really kind of underserved right now.
Totally agree, Robin. You know, we all know the stats in terms of the length of stay and just all those people that don't receive the gift of hospice soon enough. And as stigmatized as the term hospice has come, anybody that's ever experienced it, whether it be through a family member or a loved one, this is a gift that needs to be provided to everyone for the dignity and, you know, the last days of their life. And it needs to be identified much sooner. So having some data to back up, having those conversations with the families and with the physicians on educating them to really take away from the stigma of the term hospice.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm curious, when you start to talk with organizations about this, and then you get to the point where, hey, we're interested, and start really getting engaged and they want to use it, what are the barriers that sometimes you guys might run into when starting to work with this? Is it, you know, mindset of what they used to do? Is it just, you know, new ideas that they haven't thought of? What are the challenges you guys face in bringing someone from, hey, I think that's a great idea, to, you know, being really productive?
I think, Rob, you know, one of our biggest competitors is change, for sure. You know, we've talked to a lot of organizations who absolutely see the value in data, but it's just not something they're used to. And what do we do with that data? So something that's very important for us is to educate the hospice organizations on, okay, what can you do with this data? We're giving you a dashboard that really focuses on the financial, you know, business development compliance piece. But at the end of the day, we're giving you this data point that there's tons of stuff that you can do with it. So I think there's apprehension of lack of knowledge, but also, you know, AI is an interesting term. And some people ironically enough, it kind of has some sort of stigma to it. So, you know, I firmly believe in the next 2 to 3 to 4 years, it will be in every single one of the organizations. And if it's not being, there's going to be a competitive advantage that's going to be lost. I would answer that question, Robin, saying that it's just something new and you're trying to change the way that they're performing their operational, you know, day-to-day. That's just, was it A, in their budget or was it in their mindset? And it's just something that we're going to have to continue to educate organizations on how to leverage the data to ultimately enhance operational and financial sustainability that at the end of the day is a incredibly positive byproduct for patient care.
Yeah, I think it also goes back a little bit to kind of the change that you've seen, right? I mean, I'm interested in how you, the different divisions that you touch. I know when I first started working with you guys, we would get on and people would say, you know, hey, I don't have a Medicare caps problem, or maybe they just didn't know if they did or not, or they didn't pay much attention to it. And you would kind of get a shut off at that point, right? Like, this isn't my thing. But it seems now that you're touching more divisions and more players in each group. Are you seeing that the number of departments within the hospices that you're actually providing data to and are working with the information you're providing has expanded from your original expectation?
Absolutely, Robin. We've actually had some instances, and this is kind of more of a playful response to that question, that you got to get some divisions that are arguing on how this data is much more effective for one than the other. You know, compliance is a big, big piece of this as well. We work with a lot of customers that have now implemented this into their compliance department, specifically their QAPI process. So, you know, historically, most hospice companies keep the same process of doing a 15 to 20% random pull for their internal audit, and then any patient with a current length of stay of 180 and over. Now, all of our customers are implementing any patient with a predictive length of stay of 180 and over, they enter into that internal audit. As far as, you know, from a clinical perspective, every single one of the IDG meetings that we're aware of with our customers, they're bringing hospice dynamics in and saying, let's look at this patient, the plan of care, what do we see and what is hospice dynamics saying? And then if there's any sort of discrepancy, how do we get to the bottom of it? And then from a business development standpoint, being able to package this data up in a way to present to, you know, whether it be current referral sources or prospective referral sources, and provide a level of data that has just never been available, has not only increased retention in these organizations, but it's actually increased new business because they're providing something of value and is, of course, a competitive advantage and differentiator from their competitors out in the market.
So that's interesting. It's the data that they see. So do you see them taking data and then forming it into their marketing teams in different ways? Is that something that's standard? Do they kind of create that on their own? Can you talk about that piece a little bit? Because I don't know that people think about that in thinking in terms as much of, hey, I am under the hospice cap, and so I want to go out and develop more of these types of clientele for my hospice.
Yeah, and I think, Rob, you and I may have joked about this with our team, that we would love to take credit for some of the incredible things that our customers are doing with this data, but they've blown us away just as much as they're blown away, you know, how they're using the data. But at the end of the day, in addition to the dashboard we're providing a report with all of this data analytics, as well as some other aspects outside of the dashboard, where these organizations are taking that data, packaging it up and saying, listen, we're investing in this technology by proxy. Our referral sources are. So let's give them a glimpse into their predictive analytics as it relates to their referral behavior historically and what we expect them to refer. And if it's an area to where we need to educate these referral sources or just show them how they compare to a national average, they've done that and it's paid dividends. But ultimately, Rob, to answer your question, we provide the data on a dashboard for various different applications, but what these organizations are doing is pretty profound. And it just goes to show you, if you have the data, being able to make much better decisions and results with that information.
Yeah, look, Drew, I think that in a very short time, you guys have done a great job at bringing some real awareness to this marketplace and a solution to it that's badly needed, but also has so much impact in the way that can be used by organizations. So very excited to be working with you. And I know we're just scratching the surface, but look forward to the continued partnership with your organization. I know that that's pretty much the discussion points that we wanted to cover today. Anything in closing that we should know about hospice dynamics?
You know, just that we started in hospice because we knew hospice. I think even in conversations, Rob, that we've had with Matrix Care, being able to just see the future and what hospice dynamics or this type of technology can provide from the continuum of care of any sort of post-acute setting of let's give organizations a much better roadmap on how to provide the best care at the right time. And that's where we really see the future of hospice dynamics going. You hit the nail on the head. We're only scratching the surface, and we're thrilled not only with the future of our relationship with Matrix Care, but just the industry of hospice and post-acute care from as soon as that person enters that phase of life to hospice. That way they're being taken care of to the best of everyone's ability.
Yeah, that's great. So Drew, just once again, thanks for joining us. We're really excited about this partnership and where it's headed, the many things we can do. Appreciate your time. And you joining us today, we look forward to the next conversation that we have.
Thanks, Rob. As always, very much appreciated.
That concludes the latest episode of the Post Acute Point of View podcast. We have a lot of guests and topics coming up that you won't want to miss, so be sure to subscribe. To learn more about Matrix Care and our solutions and services, visit matrixcare.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you for listening. Be well, and we'll see you next time.